Good morning.
Morning, DA. How are you?
What's up, DA? Permission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
How are you feeling, everyone?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
All right, it's me, Sean Morash, with Andrew Bogish, here with DA off on paternity leave, a.k.a. Morash. Hello, Carlos. Hello, PDB on the other side of the glass. Again, it's NBA draft day, but plenty more going on in the sports world. NFL offseason ticking away here. We had Kevin Millar on, an hour number two. He'll be taking part in the American Century Championship at Edgewood Tahoe Golf Course in South Lake Tahoe from Friday, July 14th through Sunday, July 16th with live coverage on NBC and the Golf Channel. Stars like Smoltz, Mark Mulder, John Lester, David Wells, even Adam Thielen, John Elway, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and others, Steph Curry, the whole Curry family out there. And you could, as fans, start building teams, a fantasy team at accfantasygolf.com as well. Another legend that will be there, former NFL MVP, legendary Washington Redskins quarterback, Joe Theismann, has been a friend of the show for a long time. Joe, hello, how are you?
Hey, Sean, good to catch up with you. You covered a lot of the points, I can tell you that.
Buttering up all the pitch. We'll get to a lot of that, Joe, and what you guys have coming up. But, you know, first a little football, if we may. Obviously, a really interesting year coming up for the Commanders. Ron Rivera keeps reassuring us Sam Howell will, in fact, be this team's quarterback. You're there, boots on the ground. What do you think we can expect from a Sam Howell-led Commanders team as we get ready for training camp?
You know, Sean, you're like the only one hundredth person that's asked me that question.
I'm real original, Joe.
Yeah, well, it's a very valid one. I mean, and my answer is to this is we don't know yet. Sam's played one game, through 21 passes, I believe. He looks the part. I can tell you the eye test is passed. He really does look good. But I just don't know. I think the signing of Jacoby Brissett is a great thing to have depth at the quarterback position. But when you look around that football team, our receiving corps is solid with Jahan and Terry and Curtis.
Yeah.
Brian Robertson, we know last year, got shot before the season started. Antonio Gibson is back. I think this could be a great year for Logan Thomas at the tight end position because of Eric coming in and the enemy, the offense that Kansas City runs. We see what Kelsey's been able to do in that offense. So I think this could be a big year for them. But I'm excited. And defensively, heck, you got nothing but number ones up front. Now with the perceived new ownership, a lot of the distractions and conversations that have taken place regarding what happens off the field will now be focused back onto the field, and the guys will be able to just play football.
Joe, if Sean was the millionth person to ask you about Sam Howell, would I be the first to ask you about my Fordham guy, Tim DeMorat, further down that QB depth chart?
Yeah, you look around the National Football League and you think to yourself, everybody talks about the top eight or so, but when you think about the National Football League, there's roughly 90 quarterbacks that make rosters. And we've seen so often where the starter gets hurt, the backup gets hurt, and all of a sudden that next guy coming up, he's there for a reason. You don't get on an NFL roster if you don't have the ability to play. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen to him, particularly in training camp, because in training camp and in the preseason games, you're not going to see the starters. I mean, really not going to know anything about Sam Howell over to Arizona, because no coach is going to take a chance to put his potential starter out there for a very long period of time in the preseason, and there's only three of them anyway. So, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the opportunity. We all started somewhere in this league. I mean, I came into I came to Washington as a number three behind Billy Kilmer and Sonny Jurgensen. So you never know when that opportunity is going to open up.
One thing that Washington, as they get stable as an organization, should point it out to, you know, that could be good for the league, is we feel like this is a rise back to the NFC East. Three teams made the playoffs last year. Commanders very easily could have been one of those teams if that Sunday night football game went the other way versus the New York Giants. We had DeMarcus Lawrence yesterday say he thinks that the talent gap between the Eagles and Cowboys is very close. The Eagles obviously have such a great team on paper. When looking at this NFC East and its kind of rise back here, do you think there's a wide talent gap between the Eagles and everybody else?
No. Who beat the Eagles last year? The Commanders.
That's right. That's right.
So I really think Washington is not being talked about at all in this division, but yet, and I think probably to a degree justifiable, because you just have you have the question at the quarterback position. I mean, Daniel Jones up until last year was almost out the door in New York.
Yeah.
Jalen, we didn't know whether he'd be able to do it. I'm happy for him. And Dak led the league in interceptions last year. So when you look at this division, what's it going to look like? And you can't carry things over from one year to the next. Every year is different. Every team is different. Every composition is different. Now Mike McCarthy's going to take over calling plays down in Dallas. You know, what did the Eagles lose key players? You know, certainly they did well, I think, overall in the draft and everything. And then the Commanders, they added people they needed. You added a safety. You added a corner. You added offensive linemen. You added a running back. So I still think that this division winds up beating one another up. Last year, when we went into, if we'd had this conversation a year ago, everybody said, oh, the NFC East, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, it's Dallas is all the way. And then all of a sudden, the Eagles step up and they're a heck of a football team. So I think the NFC has got a lot of good football teams. The AFC is low, great quarterbacks. I think that's sort of the way I break each of the conferences down right now.
Joe, the Commanders keep being linked, or at least mentioned in stories about Hard Knocks and the in-season version of that show. Would you have wanted that extra attention, those extra cameras around?
Absolutely not. Well, for me, you know me well enough, John. I wouldn't have minded at all. But no, I think from a team standpoint, I don't think it would make sense. You know, you're transitioning to, you know, like I say, it's sort of a foregone conclusion. You're transitioning to new ownership. Ron's in the last year of a contract. You've got a young quarterback that you're not certain with. I think you bring a lot of undue pressure to the players on the field, because as soon as those cameras go on, everybody starts to act. Everybody in the organization realizes the camera's on, and you just can't be yourself. I don't care if anybody says, "Oh, yeah, we're just gonna do our thing." No. When the lights go on and the cameras start rolling, things change. People change. I think the best thing Washington can do right now is just get ready to play football and have a terrific year, surprise a lot of people. And if you want to talk about something next year, it's a little bit of a different story. But right now, I don't think it would serve the team very well.
Joe, I want to ask you something from a quarterback's perspective. Obviously, we're in a different league now and a different era than when you played, but obviously a weird scenario going on in Buffalo where Stephon Diggs doesn't show up to the first day of minicamp. Now reports have surfaced that he's unhappy with his voice in play calling and the role. We've seen him in the past yell at Kirk Cousins in the midst of a playoff win. From a quarterback's perspective, frankly, how annoying must that be when you're supposed to be the quarterback and everybody else suddenly on the field feels like they need to be above it and have a voice in the play calling?
No, you know, it really isn't annoying. I mean, you're going to have days where, you know, you're going to have games where, you know, he's going to be targeted six times and make six catches. You're going to have games where he's going to be targeted 10 and 12, 14 times and have four or five catches. Defenses aren't stupid. When you're really good at the wide receiver position, they're going to try and do everything they can to take you away. And so that's where the creativity of the offense comes in. Buffalo's going to be fine. Buffalo will be there knocking on the door. I'm looking forward to seeing Josh out at the American Century Tournament, by the way. But I just think it's Steph being Steph. I mean, that's who he is. You know, we saw it in Minnesota. You see it in Buffalo. You know, when you look at the targets, I was listening to a statistic the other day. He's had like almost more targets than anybody over the last couple of years in Buffalo. But you know, I really appreciate the competitive nature of him because he wants to make a difference. You know, it's one thing to want to be the guy. It's another thing to be able to be the guy, and he has the ability to do both. But it's off-season noise. I mean, we dissect everything in the off-season in the NFL so closely anyway. I'm actually excited to see the NBA draft tonight, the Thompson kids, this gigantic young man that's going to be the number one pick of the Spurs. I mean, that ought to be, you know. They talk about LeBron. They're comparing him to LeBron. There's no comparison to LeBron. He's 7'4", and he's skinny. LeBron was a giant coming out of high school. Are you kidding me?
Joe, I had no idea that you're an NBA draft fan. You weren't prepared for this. You want to break down those Thompson twins for us?
They're talents. I haven't had a chance to watch or really learn a lot about them, but I mean, everybody's talking about them going in the top 10. I mean, it's you talk about a gene pool. Wow. But I'm one of those people that loves the NBA. I get a kick. To me, the most difficult job from a referee standpoint in all of sports is trying to referee an NBA basketball game.
Wow. That's an interesting.
Think of it.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, how do you call? You could call walking all the time.
Yeah.
You could call fouls all the time. If people who actually go to a game and get close to the court can appreciate the physical nature of basketball. Now, you know, Miami ran out of gas. Denver was a great basketball team, no question. I mean, they dominated all the way through the playoffs. That's what they were. But, you know, taking that next-to-last series, the conference championship, to seven games, Jimmy and everybody, they just ran out of gas. Sooner or later, you get worn down. I was talking to somebody the other day. When I started in the NFL, we had 14 games. Then we went to 16. Then last year was 17, and when we got to that 17th game, I was tired. That's a lot of football. I mean, really.
There's a lot of nachos for me, Joe. I was exhausted, too.
I was just going to say, you had to put on, I don't know how much weight. Cheese nachos. I mean, my goodness. What could have possibly stopped you? That's the way you look at it.
And my Giants made the playoffs, Joe. I got two extra weeks of being fat.
I know. See? They didn't do you a favor.
Unbelievable. Well, Joe, that walks us right into what you got coming up in Lake Tahoe Friday, July 14th through Sunday, July 16th. As we mentioned, coverage on NBC and the Golf Channel is the 34th renewal of the American Century Championship. So this whole list of athletes, entertainment stars, is Joe Theismann actually most looking forward to seeing some of the NBA stars that'll be there?
I do. I love visiting with Steph. I've played with Dell before. I mean, the entire Curry family is unbelievable. And, of course, Charles is there to entertain, as he always is. Tony Romo has won the last couple of events. Marty Fish is, you know, going to compete for sure. Mark Mulder, Catherine Tappan will be there. Annika, I like to watch where Annika's warming up, and then I get close so I can sort of, you know, maybe learn something. Maybe some of her greatness will just seep over, and I'll be able to putt because I can't. But I get the biggest kick out of it. What's really neat about this too is, we now have the, obviously, you go to www.accfantasygolf.com, and it's the American Century Championship Fantasy Golf Contest. American Century has been the title sponsor for 25 years. Today is the beginning when you can start to pick one person from each of five groups to be on your team, in your fantasy team. July 13th will be the last day you can do it. The winner, the overall winner, gets $10,000 to donate to the favorite charity of choice, and they get a trip for two to next year's tournament.
That's cool.
And then each day you can change teams if you'd like. So it'd be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the winners of each of those days gets a trip for two next year's tournament as well. But like I said, I mean, I've been blessed. This is our 34th year, and I've played in 32 of them.
Wow.
And what I love is being around so many wonderful people. I mean, you know, Larry the Cable Guy. You have people from every walk of entertainment and athletics, and you find out just how wonderful they are. And you find out, you know, different things about people, you know, about the family, about their upbringing, about things that are important to them that maybe aren't the sport that they're involved in, the charities that so many of them give back to, their time. You know, I spent a lot of time with David Wells. He's just one of my favorite people in the world. And Jonathan Thomas, who's the CEO of American Century, is just, you know, he throws his heart and soul into this to make it special. Of course, it's on NBC, NBC Peacock, and the Golf Channel. So everybody gets a chance to watch it. But, you know, maybe this is the year somebody upsets Tony. A few years ago, Vinny Testaverde and John Smoltz got into a – not Vinny Testaverde, Vinny Negro got into a playoff. And it was just it was exciting. You know, and I'm a big golf fan, too. And to see what, you know, Wyndham did this past weekend was unbelievable. And I feel so bad for Rory. He's sort of the guy that got stuck with this whole merger situation that's looks like it's going to happen. He just sort of, you know, he was the guy that was going to bang the drum for the PGA, and the PGA just took the drum away from him.
Joe, I think I can officially say I love you as a sports radio host. We have now covered the LIV PGA merger. We have covered the NBA draft. And Larry the Cable Guy is a great guy. This has been incredible, Joe. We're looking forward to watching you here in a couple weeks on NBC and Peacock. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks. Great catching up with
great
you.
Great catching up.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Joe.
Wasn't that incredible? And he took a fat run at me.
Yeah. Doesn't know me, that's fine. But took a fat run at you. Transitioned on his own to the NBA.
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy name drop. David Wells. The only he didn't touch on was the Reds 11-game win streak. Look, and your move to the Fan.
He was close to talking minor league baseball with Schwartz. Ooh. He was very close.
There's a chance he's seen an LA Ducks game.
Yeah. I love Joe. The way, Joe still gave us one of the great moments in show history. When he mentioned, when you get to know some of the greats, like Larry the Cable Guy, Carlos almost keeled over and had a heart attack.
Because I'm like, that's your idea of wonderful people?
Well, he might, I guess he is. We don't
Do
know.
Do you know Larry? That's Maybe he thing. Is wonderful.
Maybe he is.
That's sure. the Same reason we get some insight on there. Oh, that's. I was afraid to ask him if we should draft him on the fantasy team because I was thought we would eventually get to where the Cincinnati Reds stand in their win streak by the time we got to the end. All right.
What do you want to do next?
We come back. Schwartz's last update of the day, plus Mike Vorkunov is going to join us on the NBA draft. The DA show on a very relieving Thirsty Thursday continues on next.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the DA here on CBS Sports Radio. A station that matters, damn it.
Yeah, take that, New York.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah. Justin tweets in, Booskies to Sean Morris and the awesome job opportunity. Hard leaving a place you love, but it's awesome to see your hard work pay off. His
whatever, toughen up.
Booskies!
Move on.
Booskies! My buddy Chris Mack, who works on me over at BetQL, says breaking news, Sean Morris owns a suit. Seems to be a big prevailing thought there.
And I can't stress enough, he owns a suit.
Yeah.
Not suits.
Which, by the way.
He owns a suit.
Look at all the former photos of the last few years. It's the same suit.
Right. Like,
here's the problem.
It's versatile. You die or you get a promotion.
Or you just change the shirts and the ties. No one tells the difference.
Sure.
It's part of my new show that I'm on. I'm on like an email thread.
Yo, your new show? What do you mean? The Giants podcast?
Well.
BetQL?
And they're going to be
giant
some,
took a giant step.
I guess pictures to post on the website. And stuff, you know, like when they make new show graphics or whatever.
Right. What's that, hackynewyork.com? What's that website?
But next week we have pictures, and again, told dress us. I mean, how many more times am I going to wear the same suit and shirt in here?
I mean, I would suggest maybe getting a second suit, but that's just me thinking out loud.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Use your new fancy New York money.
Yeah. Oh, calm down.
You get the suit when they shoot the fancy GIFs of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they can just buy you a suit at that fancy station with all the budgets and everything they've got.
Amazon John tweets in, good morning, gentlemen. By the way, good job by Schwartz reading the rundown. We have a guest in 30. Amazon John tweets in, good morning, gentlemen. I'm toasting to Mraz CBS, even though he just tagged the wrong, because somebody's already taken my Twitter handle, by the way.
Saw that.
Mraz CBS. It's been one hell of a ride. I wish you nothing but the best in your future. Hashtag Booskies.
Can
I also just toast Amazon John for a second? I'm going to do it. He toasts me. I'm going to toast him.
Booski.
He came with his father to the Bob's Bar Show.
Yeah.
Two great people. I could do without the Oriole stuff, but okay, we'll live with it. Nice people. So, bottles of rum chata have flown. Katie Linendorf brought a great gift. We have the new Bob's Bar sign. And I'm not going to tell you the dollar amount because it's almost uncomfortable, but almost as if my dad was celebrating his communion.
Yes.
Amazon John gave my dad a retirement card. With I would just say,
with a bill inside, a dollar, you know,
an on-paper money, comfortable dollar amount to wish my dad a happy retirement. He had never met my dad in his life. My dad had never met him in his life, and I'm not making fun because it was unbelievably generous. To what my dad actually felt like, what do I even do here? This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So Amazon John, that was unbelievable, and you guys again just continue to show you're the absolute best. I'm sorry you didn't get a candle at my dad's Sweet 16 to go side with it. And I'm sorry if, like, we gave off the impression on the way to the Bob's Bar Show that you should be giving my dad cash as gifts. Like, I hope that wasn't the impression we gave.
I mean, DA did say to bring things for Bob, but it was not money. Money was not implied.
But that was incredible. Bob won't be returning it. I think he's probably already spent it on fried chicken and old Hootie and the Blowfish CDs. But thank you very much.
He might have bought a Dave Matthews Band CD because he told me how much he liked Dave on that Paul Simon tribute show.
Jeez, of course
he
did.
I love you, Bob.
We bonded over that,
too. When did he watch that? In between reruns of the Andy Griffith Show?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'll take it. New fans every day, baby.
All right. Peter Schwartz is with us one final time this morning. Hello, Pete.
Good morning, guys. Some wheelings and dealings before tonight's NBA draft in Brooklyn. The Celtics, Wizards, Grizzlies reportedly agree on a 3-team trade. It sends center Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics, guard Marcus Smart to the Grizzlies, and guard Tyus Jones to the Wizards. The Nuggets will reportedly acquire the 29th and 32nd overall picks in tonight's draft from the Pacers in exchange for a 2024 first-round pick and the 40th overall pick tonight. As for the draft, 19-year-old French power forward center Victor Wembanyama is expected.
Wembanyama?
Yes.
There you go, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying.
Well, you only have the next 20 years of his career to get it right. So.
We'll see. You know, who was?
We'll see. Are you leaving too?
What's that? No, you don't know if he's going to be. Well, you know sure something I don't.
I mean, the crowd can't take any more bad noise.
What if this guy is Sam Bowie?
Okay, fair enough.
He's expected to go to the Spurs.
What if you're Sam Bowie?
I've been in this business 33 years. I'm not Sam Bowie.
True.
I was just thinking. I was feeling lucky that they got the pick as a franchise that has that culture and that experience in winning and in creating good players, you know. So I really can't wait.
Hornets will pick second, the Blazers third. Forward Chris Middleton declines his $40 million player option. With the Bucks, he'll be a free agent. Duke head coach Danny Hurley has reportedly agreed to a new 6-year deal that will guarantee him almost $33 million. That new deal will put him among the highest paid coaches in the nation. Now to baseball. We'll start with the freeway series in Anaheim. Shohei Ohtani on the hill for the Angels facing the Dodgers' Freddie Freeman.
Oh, one pitch to Freddie. He swings and hits the ball deep to center field. It is headed back to the wall. It is gone! A home run, Freddie Freeman. His 14th of the season. And the Dodgers jump on top 1-0. Freeman, a solo shot off Shohei Ohtani.
Tim Nevert on Dodgers radio. The Dodgers finish off the 2-game sweep, beating the Angels 2-0. They won both games by shutout. Shohei Ohtani was 0-for-7 at the plate in the series. Mike Trout was 0-for-8. Now to Cleveland. The Guardians trail the A's 6-5 in the bottom of the 8th.
Now the 1-2. Swung and line drive to right. Base hit. We've got a tie game. Scoring is Straw. Naylor on his way to third. Throw to second. In is Kwan. Throw gets away into left field. Here comes Naylor. He'll score. Kwan goes to third. And the Guardians taking advantage of sloppy Oakland outfield defense now have a one-run lead.
Tom Hamilton, Guardians Radio. The Guardians beat the A's 7-6. Other games yesterday, the Giants win their 10th in a row, beat the Padres 4-2. You had the Reds winning their 11th in a row, beat the Rockies 5-3. That's their longest winning streak in 66 years. The Blue Jays beat the Marlins 6-3, Rays over the Orioles 7-2. The Astros outslugged the Mets 10-8. The Yankees beat the Mariners 4-2. Hockey, Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Vernon, Pierre Turgeon, Tom Barrasso, among those elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame. We did this earlier in the morning.
By the way, Tom Barrasso, part of a famous movie.
Sudden Death?
Yes. In net there for the Penguin. I think he's the one who switches out with Jean-Claude
he
Van Damme.
He switches out.
Yep.
It's a great, very underrated movie.
Great movie.
And you know what you see in that movie that we really never saw, at least in modern, before right before the Penguins moved to their new place. That roof really did open in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and they did that. Yeah.
When it first opened, when the building first opened, they used to open that up for shows and everything. And I think there was some talk that the Penguins would try to play a game with the roof open.
And they couldn't.
And it never happened. Yeah. But in the movie, the roof opens up.
Wait, the igloo roof opened?
Yes.
It was like a retractable roof.
I had no idea.
Yeah, man. Go watch Sudden Death. Great movie.
Yeah, but if you Google, you can Google old pictures, like old, you know, things about Civic Arena.
Yeah.
And there were events that they had. Why did you just take your shoe off?
I smelt a heinous smell. Thanks for pointing it out. Nobody could hear that.
But they could open up the roof. I don't know if it was broken in subsequent years, but it was open in the movie.
Okay.
That might have been a you calling? No, I wasn't done yet.
You have to be.
You have to be.
No, we have a guest. But
okay, fine. Goodbye.
Thanks, Peter.
I'll promote myself down the hall.
All right. See you later.
Wow.
Sure. At Schwartz Sports, where you can find the rest of his update on Twitter.
You won't be seeing anything about Victor Wembanyama on there.
You will be hearing about Victor Wembanyama now, Schwartz.
Wembanyama?
Mike Vorkunov is joining us, NBA analyst for The Athletic, who's been a real friend of the show over the last couple of months. Mike, happy NBA draft day, man.
It's finally here. It's like NBA Christmas.
NBA Christmas. So, Mike, let's just start it there. If we're opening presents, and obviously we assume the Spurs are going to have the biggest gift of them all. They're getting their Tickle Me Elmo, if you will. Is it Scoot Henderson? Is it Brandon Miller? Who gets the next biggest gift, do you think, today?
I think it's going to be Brandon Miller to Charlotte. You know, that was the indication of things coming out of Combine in May in Chicago. And based on everything that I've seen since, reporting by other people, it sure seems like Charlotte is still leaning that way. And so, you know, that's kind of my theory going into tonight, is that it'll be Brandon Miller, too, which leaves Scoot Henderson to go three.
Which leads the Blazers to do what, Mike? Take Scoot at three for Dame? Or maybe teams who want Scoot are offering more than they are now, and the Blazers pull off a trade that way?
I would think if I had to predict, I think they go with Scoot at three. You know, he's a really good prospect, and I think that's been a little bit underappreciated coming into tonight. Obviously, all the attention is on Victor Wembanyama, understandably so. But you know, the comparisons for him from NBA execs during the season were John Wall type, who went number one, right? Like maybe even a Russell Westbrook or Derrick Rose type of comparison. And I think the people in the Portland front office like him a lot as well. And so, if you're looking at the chance to draft someone who you view in that regard, it's really hard to pass that up unless, you know, some kind of huge, unbelievable offer comes along that really makes you move off of your position.
Last night, obviously, we see the trade. Marcus Smart heads to Memphis, Porzingis to Boston. You know, forget the pick scenario for a second. Do you think those would be the two biggest names moved, or you think we'll get, you know, maybe some more movement? Paul George has been rumored out there. You know, should we expect more trades involving big names we know tonight?
I don't know if it'll happen tonight necessarily, but I think that there'll still be more movement. You have to remember the new CBA is coming in on July 1st. And if you're a team that's above the first apron, let alone the second apron, you really kind of get locked in into what your roster is, and it's hard to maneuver after that. And so I think that's what's spurring some of these deals, is obviously just normal roster changes in the offseason, but we have, 8 days left until the new CBA, and so you have 8 days of a, you know, kind of more extended flexibility for teams to do whatever they want to do. So I think that we're going to see some more movement ahead of June 30th and tonight still.
But the Suns don't care about any of that, right? With the Beal trade, I mean, they've basically kind of kicked the new CBA in the you-know-where with these four contracts. Or do they get rid of Ayton here to kind of lessen the blow? What's the next step for the Suns in all of this?
Well, that was their move, right, to combat the new second apron, because they were going to be above it anyway. And so they said, okay, let's kind of maximize the talent we have at the top instead of, you know, where they were. And they could have gone a few different ways with Chris Paul. And I think they're just kind of leaning into it as much as they can. And so, you know, that's one way to go about it. That's the funny thing. We still don't know what the right way is to maneuver under the new CBA. It hasn't even come in yet, let alone to see all the unexpected consequences of it and just how teams approach it. But it's going to be interesting for sure to see, like, which way works out, whether it's the Suns and they're leaning in, whether you want to duck the second apron or the first apron to get more flexibility. I really don't know, but it's going to be fun to see over the next year probably what teams do.
Mike Varkanov, NBA for The Athletic. Obviously, The Athletic also had a piece, Mike, on Zion Williamson probably not getting traded here, but talking about growing tensions there, whatever. My question about Zion is more along the lines of this. Even if he doesn't get moved here, even if he doesn't get moved in this offseason, the fact that there's speculation, there was even rumors as we talked about the Blazers and the number 3 overall pick. Are you surprised, based on his size, the constant injuries, that there still remains interest that high enough assets like that could be moved for Zion Williamson?
No, because I mean he's still 22, and when he's healthy, you know, he was an all-star in his second season.
But he's never healthy, it feels like. And, you know, the weight has to be an issue, no?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why there's even any talks of trading Zion Williamson, right? Or any even reports of trading Zion Williamson. If he was healthy all the time with his talent level, like, there'd be nothing, right? Like, you'd be talking about who can we trade for to get alongside Zion. And I think that's kind of the risk that you take in both trade, you know, potentially – let's say if you're a team that's interested in trading for him, and then what the Pelicans have to consider is just the production is there. The Pelicans were in first place at the end of December in the West. You know, Zion was amazing. He was going to be an all-NBA player before he got hurt. And so that's the kind of production and the youth and the athleticism and the skill and all that stuff that's there. And so you really have to do some risk management if you're a team and you're trying to understand what are the injury issues, what are the reasons he's not on the court, and how likely is that to continue over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years?
Mike, I don't think we got your take on this trade from last night. Sean mentioned it briefly. Do you like Porzingis in and Smart out of Boston?
I think the Celtics needed a change of some sort with that roster. You know, it was clear things were kind of just funky there by the end of the season. I'm going to be interested to see how they play. Marcus Smart was such a, you know, he was kind of the glue, I think, that held their defense together, too. And so now they bring in kind of more of a rim protector. It maybe de-emphasizes Al Horford a little bit, who's going to be, I believe, 37 next season. I'm curious to see what the offensive fit is going to be. They have another now kind of go-to scorer when they need it, which is what I think Boston has needed the last few years. And obviously Marcus Smart couldn't give it to them. I'm still trying to make sense of how they got the 2 first-round picks in that scenario. The Grizzlies sending those 2 first. I don't know how that worked out, but hey, good for Boston, I guess. But it's a trade that makes sense. I like it for the Grizzlies, too. You know, I think they need that kind of wing, another ball handler, and just kind of that type of veteran in the locker room, which is clearly what they missed last season. And so I guess those 2 teams I like it for, and we'll see what happens for the Wizards. They're just in full-on teardown mode, although Tyus Jones is going to be a good starting point guard for them if they move off of Chris Paul.
Mike, obviously we know the Blazers are a team to keep an eye on at 3, whether it's current players or whether it's movement up the board. Who's a team maybe you've been hearing about that we should keep an eye on tonight that might surprise us with something?
I'd be interested to see what Utah does. They have 3 first-round picks. Danny Ainge is never scared of making a big move, right? And he certainly has the draft capital this year and going forward if there's a player in the draft that he really likes. I think there's that old report about how the Celtics offered 4 first-round picks to move up in the draft. I think it was like the Justice Winslow year, something like that. And so I'd be interested to see what Utah does. They kind of get to choose their own future, and they have the draft capital this year and beyond to make things happen if there's someone they feel strongly about.
Mike, getting away from the draft for 1 second, I believe the last time you were on with us was right after Adam Silver kind of had that cryptic bad news coming for Ja Morant, well, basically after the finals, and we all 3 of us thought the suspension was going to be maybe half a season, and it's only 25 games, quote-unquote. Are you surprised? Was that less than what you were expecting from the NBA?
That's about kind of where I thought it would land, somewhere in that 24 to 20, you know, it's like 30-game range. You know, I think it's a bit of an interesting suspension just because it's, you know, it's conduct detrimental is the reason the NBA has suspended him, which is a nebulous thing, right? I wonder if the PA will appeal. I don't think they were pleased with the suspension when it first came down. It felt like there might be grounds for an appeal. He had 8 games, and so this is more than tripling it for a second incident. I think it's about right. I mean, I think it's maybe surprising because it's one of the rare times we've seen Adam Silver come down hard on someone, especially without some kind of, arrest or indictment or anything like that in place that serves as kind of a normal predicate for a suspension. And so I'm not surprised by it. I didn't think it was ever going to be somewhere along half a season. That just seemed like there wasn't enough there. But I do think that the NBA felt like it needed to come down to show that this isn't tolerable, right? It wasn't just like the second incident. It was that the second incident came off of a meeting with Adam Silver, right? And so that's kind of that made things so much worse.
National NBA reporter for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Vorkunov. Mike, I know it's going to be a late night, so I appreciate you waking up with us this morning. Enjoy the day, man.
Thanks. Yeah, it's definitely going to be like a 4 or 5 coffee kind of day. I'm sure for you guys, too.
I love it, Mike. Take care of it.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Vorkunov, been an excellent, excellent guest for the DA show here over the last month plus. So some interesting stuff there as well. Keep an eye on a lot of things with the NBA draft tonight, including the Utah Jazz.
Said. Weekday afternoons on the Fan. Keep your eye on those baseball things. The Mets have a team. So do the Yankees. 2:30 to 6:15 on
they
the Fan.
Play basketball.
Yeah.
Allegedly, two teams there too.
Oh, jeez. Boy, fun times. Fun times indeed. All right, we come back. Advanced analytics and an epic fails. The DA show on CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
All right, your question of the day I have to now find because Carlos didn't include it in the email.
Have you ever been asked by someone to try on clothes because you're the same size as their relative?
Okay, here it is. Yes, because Schwartz is saying his kids have been asked. 83% say, nope, that's weird. 11% said, no, but I would. 4% said, yes, and I'll do it. 0% said yes, and I refuse.
I love that we got a zero answer.
Yeah. That might be the first zero we've ever gotten on a choice here ever. That's incredible, Carlos. All right. Oh, by the way, the question wasn't there. I just didn't have the results. My bad, yep. Carlos. All right. Anyway, here's your advanced analytics points. It takes 700 gallons of water to make a cotton shirt. A single cotton shirt?
I don't believe that.
There's no way that's true.
If the internet says it's true, it's true.
There's no way it's true. Men initially wore high heels. Of men's boots were for riding horses so they didn't fall off.
Pete's had enough.
The French General Napoleon hated soldiers wiping their noses on their sleeves so much that he had tailors sew buttons onto the sleeves of the soldiers' jackets. These buttons served no real purpose other than to be uncomfortable when people would wipe their nose, but Sean would still find a way.
You're like Ron Burgundy. If I write it, you'll say it.
Because I don't pre-read anything. And if you've learned anything, by the way, if you do interview for my job, Carlos, understand the DA also doesn't read anything before you give it to him.
I also would not say that to DA.
Okay.
Yeah, the department has some whiskey today.
How's everybody doing? By the way, I found out, I mean, you want to talk about cesspools of America. My mother is actually on Twitch, not just like viewing on Twitch. She created a name. And
can you confirm that that's actually her?
Yeah, because she texted me. She goes, I love this Twitch chat room. I go, excuse me? And I had to go back and look at this. And it's like, I'm not doing Bob things. No, that's my mother. By the way, Mom, it's a little too late to get in on that chat room, huh?
She doesn't need to leave with you.
We're signing Bob.
Yeah, the fan's getting you. They're not getting the family.
Right, and you're different day parts, so there's no conflict in her listening. She can be with us in the morning and you in the afternoons.
What a twist that would be. My mom texting Pete saying they shouldn't treat you like this. After all the texts I've gotten during the show.
During talks.
over the years.
She texted you today about this?
No, I'm saying like how many times she's texted me.
Oh, right.
You know, don't let them do that. Ba, ba, ba. Don't let them mention your farts. Ba, ba, ba.
Yeah, I mean, your mom has a time, and I've been critical of her. She has blindly defended you too many times.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I could be wrong, more recently, she's actually not done that. you've gotten more, be nicer to people. Like, I feel like she's a little more critical of you.
And I will say, when this all kind of got finalized here, and earlier in the week I had to pick up my girls and I sat at her house, she said to me, just promise me you'll stop doing all the antics you do and take your life more professionally. I said, Mom, I can assure you the reason they're hiring me is for me to continue doing my antics.
Except with a different name.
Exactly.
If you stop the antics, they'll be like, why did we bring this guy?
Why don't you just trust me on this one a little bit? Why don't you just trust me on this one? All right. Now it's time for your epic fail. PDB, what did we select as the epic fail today?
The Schwartz signal problems.
Peter Schwartz, we're reminiscing here over great DA show moments over the next month. And with Schwartz in, we brought up how he couldn't connect on Zoom during an Islanders press conference. Here it is, your epic
Even
fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Kupchak speaking underwater with reporters
sounded
yesterday.
Sounded like the latest guest I booked. Right.
I thought we were past this whole Zoom stuff, unless it was an absolute emergency.
I'm with you, Peter.
I mean, what's going on? It's an NBA team.
Remember you during the pandemic? You had one where you couldn't, nobody could hear you, right? With the Islanders, wasn't it? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, at their facility.
Yeah.
And we, at that point, there's no input. You can't speak to anybody.
Yeah.
So they send everybody into the lobby to go on the Zoom. And I'm in the lobby sitting on a chair with literally nobody around me, and they couldn't hear a word I was saying.
It's unbelievable.
And, like, why wouldn't you?
Peter, I think it's your...
You certainly had your fair share. What was it like to be on the...
Peter, you broke up there. Try it again. I don't know if it's your internet or not. Try it one more time.
No, it was the freaking internet service in the building. That's what it was.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, try it. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Oh, the pandemic was different times, man.
Walking back into a locker room after this whole thing was done, it was like a holiday.
Yeah.
That you get the chance. It sounded like I was walking on the moon.
Can you hear me now?
Schwartz just dying to ask Michael Pekka about the new Kung Pao at the new arena.
Now I'm crying, but not because of what happened yesterday.
Shake Shack.
Matt Barzell, LL, what kind of hamburger bun do you think the new Blue Line Deli should use on the chicken sandwich at the new arena?
I just realized now. I just realized why God did that to me that day is for payback for me being so nasty to people at the drive-thru when you can't hear them. When you're driving through Burger King. Hello? Your order, please?
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
I don't even remember where I was in the
oh, that's too good.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Pete, I don't know where the pat on the back whistle is. First of all, it's a great fail by Carlos, but me doing the dragged out asking about the food at the new arena, personally speaking, was one of the funniest things I feel like I've ever said. I don't know why. Listening back to it, that actually is going to make me... you know, you're not supposed to laugh at yourself. It's going to make me laugh the whole ride home because it's so true. But that's the irony that went over Schwartz's head. He didn't care about third line combinations, the Islanders' power play.
Nope.
Like, if you go back to that era, that weird pandemic era where Schwartz kept asking about the arena, do you know what soft serve ice cream will be in section 323?
Can I have a left? Over comp ticket.
And this is in the process of, remember, Schwartz also getting stuck in the elevator in the parking garage at Yankee Stadium and almost missing their food tasting event. That was around the same time.
He had to be rescued.
And we had to call the New York City Fire Department to rescue Peter Schwartz out of an elevator at Yankee Stadium so that he could eat the free tempura that's going to be served in the third baseline.
And I think there was something going on that day, too.
Oh, right. It was the big event. Yeah, it was a bad event that we needed all hands on deck for. Oh, man. Thanks, Pete the Body. Thanks, Carlos, with a K. We begin to heal now. Thank you, Bogey. Thank you, Kaplan. We're going to have fun tomorrow, Bogey's recap of the NBA draft.
5 guests tomorrow.
Yeah, only 2, I think. Be good and be good to one another. The mothership disconnects.
Load it up.